My name is Dave John Mike from the Geekcast Radio Network, and I listen to mostly It Figures and Wrestling Radio from Pop Culture Network. This voicemail specifically is for Wrestling Radio. Dirt, I love what you're doing with the show. Very, very awesome. Glad Wrestling Radio is back. You are actually probably the only wrestling podcast I listen to, just because a lot of the other ones I've found, frankly, kind of suck. But you had asked a while ago, last year in 2010 sometime, about what shows do we watch the most. And I used to watch, I'd gotten back into wrestling around WrestleMania 23. And the only reason why I really got back around into it was because Saliva was doing the theme song that year with Ladies and Gentlemen. And so I got back into it. I was watching Raw and SmackDown from about 2003 till about 2009, and then I just only watched Raw. I think ever since the whole Vicky Guerrero bull came up on SmackDown, I've hated that show. I don't mind seeing The Undertaker, like any of the big names that are on SmackDown, Undertaker, Rey Mysterio, stuff like that, but I cannot sit there and watch that show. I just can't. SmackDown, to me, has become what ECW and NXT were. Just oh God, so bad. I love Raw. I think Raw is just awesome. I don't always watch the entire episode of Raw. I watch like the main event things or the characters that I like. Like I skip over everything that is Santino and Kozlov. I hate that crap. I've never liked Santino. I think it should be a weekly thing that Stone Cold Steve Austin comes in with a beer truck every single week and just douses Santino with beer. But that would get old. So anyway, Dirk, keep up the great work, and I guess I will talk to you later and see you later on Pop Culture Network and whatever else. I'm dying here. Anyway, go Wrestling Radio.
And that, folks, is why you should check your voicemail more often. Yes, this is Wrestling Radio. I know, hard to believe. Like, what the heck happened? We, new year, new schedule. We were going to make this work. Then it all fell apart. Well, two things happened. First of all, the whole Diamond Comics shipping schedule changed, which changed the when I do my work, which changed when I have my free time, which changed when I have time to be with my kids, which changed when I have time to be with my wife, which changed all sorts of wonderful, fabulous things. And so, once again, schedule completely up in the air. But then number two was Mother Nature. And no, I don't mean I had to sit on the toilet and piss for 2 weeks. It means that we had sub-zero temperatures, we had, I don't know, like 6 inches of snow, we had snow, then freezing rain, then more snow, which made everything covered in ice. We had a rim get bent on my car, which had to be fixed, which still has to be fixed, actually, by the way. Driving on a spare tire in the snow and ice right now, that's really fun. That makes things exciting. It's like putting your life in danger every time you're on the road. Woohoo! But, you know, we had snow days. Kids couldn't go to school. They were at home. We had kids getting sick. You know, just, I mean, it's like somewhere, someone is trying to keep me from doing this podcast. I don't know what it is. I don't know. Maybe Wade Keller is secretly running the Cobra weather machine. He's got the mass device. He's causing all these problems. He's grabbing a snowstorm from the Alps and dropping it on top of my hometown. I don't know what's going on. But we're trying, man. We're trying. And I wanted to talk a little bit about this voicemail I got. I want to thank you, first of all, for calling, Mike. And Geekcast Radio, huh? Thanks for having me on your show, on your site, doing one of your, you know, because, you know, it's not like I'm a big nerd for technology or toys or comics or movies or video games or, you know, thanks. Yeah. So anyway, I wanted to talk a little bit about this because there are a couple things I want to address. First of all, I can understand. I personally like Vicky Guerrero. I just think it's funny. As someone who worked as a long time as a pro wrestling heel manager, I really appreciate a lot of the stuff she does. She gets tremendous heat from the crowd. For those of you who watched the Raw, month or so ago, where John Cena, Vicky Guerrero were in the ring, they actually turned down the crowd so it wasn't as deafening. But for John Cena standing in the ring with Vicky, he really legitimately had a hard time hearing her because the heat was so loud and it kept growing and building and building. So, I appreciate that. And I love the way that that's done. But I will agree, a lot of the stuff that they've done, like with a lot of stuff in WWE, they had no end point in mind. They were just doing stuff to do stuff to fill time until they could figure out what their next storyline was going to be. And they did, when she was doing a lot of stuff with Edge, I thought it was great. When they did all the, nude pictures that were being sold on eBay, I thought that was great. When they were doing some of the stuff with her and Dolph Ziggler, when they first got together and the whole cougar thing. And I loved all that stuff. But I agree. They had a lot of problems with her and Chavo, trying to figure out what to do with Chavo. ECW champion, but I mean, who cares, right? Because it's ECW. They had killed the brand already at that point. Really couldn't figure out how to make anybody care about Chavo. Tried to put Vicky in there. Tried to instead of just having Chavo go out and wrestle some fantastic matches, instead of, taking a guy like Bryan Danielson out of developmental and putting him in there with Chavo and letting those two just have 15 minutes on ECW to do whatever the hell match they want to do, which would make fans like go nuts for it and care about it and want to watch it, they kept coming up with all these gimmicks and all this stupid stuff. And then, granted, Chavo went to an Impact taping, hung out backstage with a bunch of the guys there, his friends. He was being friendly. He was being nice. He was invited, so he went. And WWE jobbed him out to Kane in 30 seconds at WrestleMania that year. So, they didn't really know what to do with him, and in the end, they did nothing because they were pissed off at him. But I understand how that would make you hate Vicky because of that whole situation and why a lot of people still hate Chavo. Because that whole storyline went nowhere. And also, some of the stuff they've done recently with, what was her name from NXT? Was it Caitlyn? Was Caitlyn the one that was running around with Dolph Ziggler and Vicky? And they didn't know what to do with her. It was NXT, so it was a failure from the get-go. And that really, that was annoying and stupid. And so I get all that. I get that. But on a whole, and boy, maybe I shouldn't say that when we're talking about Vicky, but I think I really enjoy her character, and I like her heel mannerisms. I like the things that she gets away with, and I understand if you don't. I understand if it gets to be too much, but SmackDown for the last 3 weeks has been phenomenal. If you haven't been watching it, something happened this year, and I don't know. I know they had a meeting several weeks ago, and this has been reported in a lot of different sites and newsletters and whatever, that they had a meeting, and Vince said something needs to be done with creative. And I don't know if something came out of that meeting and just SmackDown, the guys at SmackDown decided it was time for a change, if they shuffled some people around at SmackDown and the news just hasn't gotten out, what the deal is. But the last few weeks of SmackDown, really, except for the final segment on last week's show, I would say that SmackDown has just been tremendous for the last 3 weeks. Now, I know I said I've had some problems watching SmackDown. I don't get sci-fi here, having a hard time. I found out, S-Pac 316 posted on our website just like 2 days after I figured this out. But WWE is posting the full episode of SmackDown on YouTube. And like I said, it used to be on Hulu, and I don't know if it's not on Hulu anymore, but it's not in the Hulu edition that goes through the PS3, and maybe if you go to the website, it's there, I don't know, but WWE is posting it on YouTube so that it can be seen, and I appreciate that, and thanks for letting me know, S-Pac. But the last 3 weeks have just been tremendous. And for anybody that says they're not pushing new stars on WWE shows, well, Dolph Ziggler is really standing up like a big star now. Jack Swagger is getting a little bit of credit. Still not, he's a former World Heavyweight Champion, cashed in the Money in the Bank, got the title. You'd think for a guy who was able to pull off a somewhat interesting feud with Big Show and at least make the matches not completely suck, Jack Swagger would get a little more credit, which he doesn't get. But SmackDown has just been, it's been great. Just the last few weeks have felt like what Raw was in 2002, 2003. So if you can remember back and think back when that was kind of a hot time, those are some great shows. That's what SmackDown is now. And Raw the last couple weeks has been better. I feel it's been hit or miss. I think SmackDown's been better than Raw the last 3 weeks overall. And there's been some great stuff on Raw, despite The Miz being on there. But overall, I'd say SmackDown's been the better show. And if nothing else, going into Royal Rumble this weekend, at least go back and go on YouTube or wherever and just watch the last 3 weeks worth of SmackDown. Or even if you don't feel like doing that, go watch the first SmackDown of this year. Go back and watch that first SmackDown from 2011, and I think you'll realize that SmackDown is great. SmackDown's phenomenal. They've had some really tremendous matches. They basically, at one point, I forget exactly when it happened, but Dolph Ziggler, I think it was his match with John Cena on Raw, and they basically said, this is your chance to step it up. This is your opportunity to show us what you got. Go out there, bring the house down, do it. And he went out there, had a match with John Cena, and it was phenomenal. I mean, it was a fantastic match. Now, I know a lot of people are not big fans of John Cena, so that's even if you're not a fan of John Cena, you're going to watch that and say, wow, that match was pretty good. Why? Because Ziggler just was told to go out there and do his thing and step up, and he did. Now, they did a second match last week, I think it was, and that, quite frankly, kind of sucked. That was, you know, basically, Dolph Ziggler went out there and I think it was this last week's episode of Raw where Dolph Ziggler won, but then the new Nexus came out and did a beatdown, and it was just, it was like, whatever. You know, it's just, who cares? That was CM Punk versus Cena. Where was Ziggler? Ziggler was on the show, wasn't he? Did they have Ziggler? Am I thinking of something else? God, I can't even remember, because, of course, it's been, you know, several weeks since we've done this. Several episodes of Raw are all kind of, you know, mashing together in my mind. I'm having a hard time keeping track which who wrestled who on which show and where it was and whatever. But the point was, Ziggler stepped up. SmackDown's been great. I do think you need to check it out. And, you know, I understand the idea that you hate certain things on the show. I mean, honestly, Miz comes out to cut a promo. That's when I go in the other room, pour another cup of coffee, grab a snack, you know, come over to the computer, check my emails, whatever. Because that's the last thing I want to see is a Miz promo. And that's and honestly, I know there are some people that say, oh, he's great on the mic. He's a good promo. If that's the way you see it, then good for you. I don't see it that way. I've never heard a Miz promo and thought, wow, now I really want to see him wrestle. You know what I mean? So everybody gets something different out of a wrestling show. The question is whether or not you can do a show that really gets all those people. And what I want to do here is kind of transition from SmackDown being great, Raw being pretty good, to what's going on in TNA. Now, I know a lot of people out there, Rob Bass especially, huge TNA fan, loves TNA because for some reason, WWE, because it's a PG show, sucks, but if they say a four-letter word on Impact, that makes it great, I guess. I don't know how that works. But the folks at Spike TV went to a TNA house show, and they saw that the crowd was just going nuts, that they loved doing the show, they loved everything that they saw, they thought it was great. And the crowd was so much more into it than the crowds have been in Orlando in the Impact Zone. So Spike TV officials said, hey, you know what we need to do is we need to film TNA not in Orlando. So they've announced, I think it's in somewhere in North Carolina, is it Raleigh, where they're going to be doing a couple tapings. And then they've announced that they're going to do 8 to 10 more in other places around the country, not in the Impact Zone, because they think mixing it up, bringing it in front of a fresh crowd is going to help. And to a certain degree, that will help, because people are going to be excited. When you go to a house show, you know, the crowd that's there is happy to see these people live. They're getting excited. You know, I took my son. My son knew who John Cena was and who Rey Mysterio was, and that's really all he knew. But he got excited. He cheered. During the Divas matches, someone behind us went, "That's what I'm talking about!" So then that was my son's catchphrase for like a couple weeks. And, you know, the crowd does get excited, get into it. But a TNA house show is not Impact. A TNA house show is not Vince Russo. A TNA house show is not Eric Bischoff. A TNA house show is traditionally a guy who would have been like Dutch Mantel, who's no longer with the company, but he would have been there. Jim Cornette, who's no longer with the company, would have been there. I think now, I don't know, Jeff Jarrett maybe, whoever, just basically says, you're going to wrestle that guy. You got 15 minutes. Go knock yourself out. And they'll have, you know, RVD versus AJ Styles. Give him 20 minutes. Go down there, do a bunch of spots, have fun. And the guys are just out there listening to the crowd. The crowd gets excited. They build it up. The crowd dies down. They slow it down. They want to get the crowd back into it. They pick it up a bit to pull the crowd into it, to build things up to the end. They do a big bunch of near falls. They do some spectacular moves. They get a pinfall. Everybody celebrates. They love it. There's no run-in in the first 30 seconds. There's no swerve on top of a swerve just so they can double swerve you. Vince Russo likes to do that, where everything for months leads up to the fact that so-and-so is going to turn heel, then the other guy turns heel just to make it a swerve. None of that happens at house shows. House shows is just the pure wrestling. If they would film the house shows and put them on TV and get rid of Bischoff and Russo, then TNA probably would be the number one wrestling company, because it's just that good. But they're not allowed to do that on TV. So TNA is what it is. So they're hoping that they're gonna push Impact tapings around the country. They're gonna get better crowds, and which, you know, like I said, it's gonna work for a while. But you know, in the long run, I think it's just gonna burn out crowds. Crowds are going to go in and be excited, and then they're going to see it's the same crap that's on TV. This is not like a house show. They're going to get kind of sad. You know, TNA had this great thing there for a while where the TV was nonsensical and you really didn't have to watch it, but the pay-per-views had really good matches on them. This is probably like, I don't know, 2006, 2007, sometime around in that time period. And the pay-per-views were great. And you saw some great wrestling on the pay-per-views until Vince Russo started sticking his nose in it, started overbooking a lot of those pay-per-views, and they just sucked. And it just, now the pay-per-views aren't even good matches, you know? So TNA hopes that by mixing things up, they're going to get more people interested and they're going to get better reactions. And they might. They might. And maybe it'll work for a while. Maybe it is what they need. I mean, who knows? But I just don't think that that's really going to fix the problem, especially in the long term, considering that, you know, there are places in Mexico that have been doing shows in more or less the same arena, you know, definitely the same town, maybe even, in fact, the same arena since the 30s. And they haven't burned out their crowds. You know, there are regional promotions, you know, guys in Florida, in the Carolinas, in Indiana, in Texas, in Portland, guys who did shows for 20 years, same crowds. It was always hot, you know. It was always great until either the money ran out, or, you know, too many guys got old and they just didn't want to do it anymore, or, you know, whatever. Or they got bought out. Talent got bought out by Vince during expansions, whatever. Being in front of the same crowd week after week isn't the problem. The problem is listening to the fans and giving them what they want. What they want is not Vince Russo. But yet, for some reason, he's still there in TNA. So, I don't know what to do about that. We're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Royal Rumble pay-per-view that's coming up this weekend. And we're going to talk about some of your questions and comments. So, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be right back.
Hey, folks. Apocalypse here. You're listening to Wrestling Radio, and when Dirt's not doing Wrestling Radio, he's with me on Comaholics, part of the Pop Culture Network. Check us out.
My name is Sween Hollick, and if you're into Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, have I got a column for you. Go over to PopCultureNetwork.com and take a look at Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk, where each and every week we meander down memory lane as I review classic figures from the original Playmates Ninja Turtle toy line. Whether you're a longtime follower of the Fab Four or just getting into the Green Teens, I don't think you'll be disappointed. That's Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk, and you can only find it at PopCultureNetwork.com.
Hey guys, I'm Rob Bass. I host a show called Comic Nation TV, where the world of comic books and complete fandom collide. We have great reviews by Pop Culture Network's very own Dirt and Comics Corner's reviewer Ryan Porter, along with our newest member Juan Pineda, who hosts The Art of Comics. So if you guys love comics, hope you check out our show, only on The Pop.
And don't forget to check out the Pop Culture Network store, where everything you buy helps to keep us on the air. That's www.popculturenetwork.com. Hey, did you guys ever see the movie Pump Up the Volume? I bring it up not because anything in wrestling has to do with the movie Pump Up the Volume. I was just thinking about that movie. I like it. All right, guys, you're listening to Wrestling Radio here on the Pop Culture Network. And now we're going to talk about the Royal Rumble. What is the Royal Rumble? Well, the Royal Rumble is technically WWE's number two pay-per-view of the year. In fact, after WrestleMania, this is probably the best pay-per-view that they have in terms of sales. And it's actually kind of surprising how poorly the show did last year. Last year, I think the domestic buys were somewhere south of 300,000 buys, which is really... oh, boy. Really sad for being such a top pay-per-view. And the pay-per-views in the past, Royal Rumble has done so great with that one being so bad. This year, they needed some sort of gimmick. They needed something to just make people kind of freak out and care again about the Royal Rumble. So they realized they really didn't have any big matches. There are no big title matches that they can turn to. And, you know, before they, when people cared about Big Show, they had Big Show versus Kurt Angle. I think that was it, wasn't it? Or was it John Cena versus Big Show? I don't remember. Anyway, they had matches like that they could hype. They made a big push for Umaga, and they had John Cena versus Umaga in a match that was fantastic, by the way, for an Umaga match. I mean, I know a lot of people just didn't expect much out of it, and that match was great. So, you know, they really need some sort of hook. And this year they decided to change it from 30 guys to 40 guys. They're going to have 40 people in the Royal Rumble. And the gimmick is just basically they can market it as the biggest Royal Rumble ever. You got 10 extra guys. Now, normally in the past, they have said it was 30 guys. Each guy comes in every 2 minutes. And the two-minute rule was more or less ignored. It was just kind of, when things were slow, they needed to throw somebody in there, they'd throw them in. If they were running low on time, they'd do them every, you know, 90 seconds, do them every minute and 15 seconds, whatever. And then, you know, they could just kind of throw guys out whenever they felt like it. Well, now they've said it's going to be 40 guys instead of 30. They're going to do it every 90 seconds instead of every 2 minutes. And the idea being that the match should still be about the same length. However, with them throwing out times, really, when they do a regular match, saying that it's going to be 90 seconds instead of 2 minutes just gives them the opportunity to throw guys out there a little faster, feed them into people. You know, you could have a guy like Alberto Del Rio can take out three or four, you know, woo-woo guy and Tanaka and, you know, whoever else they bring in, some guy off NXT, and can toss him out. Then there are three guys fed to him that get thrown out real quick, and it doesn't really make a difference, you know, in the long run. So that's kind of the plan. Also, the Royal Rumble is usually a pretty big deal because it tells you what their plans are going to be for WrestleMania. I mean, obviously, the winner of the Royal Rumble match gets to pick which title and set up which match they're going to go to for WrestleMania. And the problem was, you know, since they started doing two titles, then Royal Rumble ends with a winner, but then there's a question over which title he's going to go for. And so I remember especially the one with Batista, where it was a big question of, is Batista going to SmackDown, or is he going to go after Triple H's title on Raw? And so it was, you know, kind of cool to watch the Royal Rumble get that ending, but at the same time, you know, you buying the show didn't give you the answer. And so it just kind of causes this problem where when you have no clear-cut winner and no clear direction once the show is over, it puts you in that spot where it's like, well, why am I bothering to watch the show? I'm not getting this conclusion out of it that I need to have. So, Royal Rumble, they've pushed for Orton versus The Miz because they just didn't feel like John Morrison could carry it, but also because they are taking a risk on Dolph Ziggler versus Edge. And they kind of hope that this helps to propel Ziggler to that next level, because they think he does have the ability to be one of the next top-tier guys, you know, working forward. And also with Wade Barrett from Nexus. But we'll talk about him in a minute, because we're also going to go over some of these questions and comments that you guys have and kind of discuss some of this stuff. So let's start here. Let's go back to the message board. Joseph MRD, Joseph Murd, murdered, Mr. D, whatever. LOL, sweetie, it's been so long, you haven't returned any of my calls. Whoa, wait a minute. Here, let's just skip ahead to the, anyway. Hate The Miz and all the matches are lame. I tune away every time he's on. Am I with you on who's, I am with you on who's winning the Rumble? I guess. I would like to see Morrison win it, become champion. He needs a push. Miz needs to go on, and I don't know time-sharing vacation commercials. Okay, so I'm guessing what you're saying here. You want to see John Morrison win, and you want to see Miz go away to doing infomercials instead of being on wrestling. I agree on that last part. I don't think John Morrison's going to win the Rumble. I really don't see it happening. If Morrison was the type of guy that they could believe in to win the Rumble and get that storyline, they wouldn't have pulled him out of the match here at the Rumble. Because originally it was going to be Morrison versus Miz at the Rumble. And I made a comment on the board. I had a brain fart talking about the December pay-per-view, TLC, Morrison versus Sheamus. I was having a brain fart thinking about the Royal Rumble. I said, there's no way Morrison's going to win. And I was thinking actually about the Royal Rumble match that was scheduled at the time that was supposed to be Morrison versus The Miz. I just said, there's no way Morrison is going to beat The Miz. And in fact, he can't now because they took him out of the match. Morrison, there are a lot of guys who like him. He has his fans backstage. There are people, you know, pushing for him. But his biggest problem is promos, interviews. They just feel like he doesn't have the personality. When he stood up as a member of Eminem and said, I'm the greatest guy of all time, everybody pay attention to me because all your girlfriends love me, blah, 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 people believed it. People bought it. When he was doing the thing where he was the Miz's tag team partner and he was heel, people bought it. People loved it. The moment they turned him face and suddenly he's like, I'm the Friday Night Delight, when he was on SmackDown. Now he's on Raw. I'm the Monday Night Delight and all the ladies love me. It just comes off as so fake. It's like he really doesn't, I'm guessing in real life, he really doesn't have the ego to be a face. Because part of the idea is when you're a face is you're selling yourself to the crowd. Now, as a heel, it's much easier to come across and just say, you know, this is a character I'm playing, so I'm not really invested in it. I don't feel bad if people turn on me and boo me when I say I'm wonderful, because, you know, I'm a heel, I'm supposed to get booed. But when you're a face and you go out there and you try to get a face reaction and the people aren't reacting, it's much harder to sell yourself in your own mind and make that connection with the crowd and get them to actually stand behind you and cheer you. So Morrison, he either needs to go heel, he needs to get a manager to talk for him, or he just needs to learn how to sell himself better. So that's what's going on with him. Swainholic. You know who I'm starting to suspect will win the Rumble? Christian, possibly in a surprise return. If WWE is looking for fresher matches to feature at WrestleMania, Edge versus Christian would be a great choice. Maybe it's partly wishful thinking, but I actually do think this would make sense. There's tons of history and emotion you could put into Edge and Christian main eventing WrestleMania. True. There would be a lot of history they could put into it, a lot of emotion into it. Not going to happen. Christian may, in fact, be a surprise return at the Royal Rumble. Again, 40 people. They're going to have to reach, you know, to fill those spots. I think, you know, we saw him on TV at the Slammies. He had his arm in the sling, but otherwise he looked okay. I would guess he could make a return as a surprise entrant at Royal Rumble, but I just don't see him getting that win. He just doesn't have the support that a lot of the other people have, making it to main event status. I know a lot of people say, well, he's really a great wrestler. He was one of the few guys that was able to have really good matches at TNA, so that's got to stand for something, and it does. And that's the reason why they keep him around. You know, your average guy gets injured, they would just dump him. They would just be like, well, you know, that's enough of that guy. No need to worry about him, and he'd be released. They keep him around because they know if they release him, he can go to TNA. TNA would scoop him up in a heartbeat, and he'd be another big draw for TNA. So they're not going to do that, but at the same time, they're just really not going to give him that push. So don't – I would bet heavily against that happening. Let's see here. Darth Duck, Ryan Porter. He says here, I haven't watched wrestling in a long time, and I haven't taken a pay-per-view in forever, but Edge and Christian WrestleMania match would be awesome. At least it will exist in my mind. Yeah, again, you know, a lot of people do – here's the problem, though, is that for us as wrestling fans – we're going to love that because we know we get a good wrestling match out of it. You have to convince WWE that a lot of people who don't normally buy WrestleMania would be willing to buy WrestleMania for that match. You see what I'm saying? And that's a much more difficult proposition to get across to people. Because for most of them, they just don't see, again, they just don't see Christian as being that top guy like some of the other guys. Rob Bass, of course, saying that he'll watch WWE if Edge and Christian happens. We know. We know. And SPOC316, again, thank you for letting me know that they do have SmackDown on YouTube. I figured it out just a couple days beforehand. Nathan, though, sent in this question. This is kind of unrelated, but I was watching some WWE documentary things today. Is it just me, or is Michael Hayes always talking in kayfabe, even when everyone else isn't? Well, here's the thing. Kayfabe, Michael Hayes, the guy, and Michael Hayes, the fake wrestling character, are like maybe 9/10 of his personality and 10/10 of his personality. You know? He actually, I think, turns himself down in real life. I think the real Michael Hayes is the Freebird. And one thing that's just hilarious, go out if you can find some WWE home videos from 97, 98. Michael Hayes, they didn't want to call him Michael Hayes because Michael Hayes was the Freebird. And, you know, Vince McMahon didn't want to acknowledge that that's who he was. So they called him Doc Hendricks. And Doc Hendricks, like Jimi Hendrix, he gave himself that name. He was like, okay, fine, I'll be Hendrix. Doc Hendrix, because he's really smart about wrestling. So he's the doctor, Doc Hendrix. Michael Hayes as Doc Hendrix was the exact same personality, except imagine Michael Hayes selling himself to 8-year-old kids in the, you know, mid-90s, late-90s PG WWE style. I mean, think of WWE back when you had, you know, Yokozuna as champion, as one of the top guys, versus, you know, when you think about the Attitude Era where you had Rock and Austin and all that kind of stuff going on, before Rock and Austin and everybody, before, you know, Bret Hart was, you know, one of those main event guys, like the period right after Hogan, right after Warrior, when, you know, the top was really kind of less refined as it became later. And he would wear, like, the bright colored, like, splatter shirts. He'd have, like, the hat with the tiny little brim on it, like the bicycle hats that guys would wear. And he was always just, he had that same level of energy and that same level of just kind of dancing around on everything and not taking things seriously that, you know, Michael Hayes as Michael Hayes the Freebird has, but as a Saturday morning cartoon character. You go watch that and you'll see that Michael Hayes is Michael Hayes. And kayfabe Michael Hayes and shoot Michael Hayes are pretty much identical because that's just who the guy is. I think the only difference now is he seems a little calmer, just because he's old. Older, Michael Hayes, sorry. I don't want to disrespect you or anything. One final question here. Talking about Tito Santana, Swingaholic says, if he's to be believed, Santana was once considered for a run with the WWF Championship in the early 1990s, as WWF was supposedly going to expand into Mexico and South America. The Fed then decided to expand to Canada and thus put the title on Bret Hart instead. And then he's asking if I perhaps maybe know a little bit more. I really don't know much more than what you've said. I do believe that is true. I mean, I say that in the sense of I've never really asked anybody about it, and I guess I'll send an email out today, maybe see if I can get a comment from Dave Meltzer or Brian Alvarez or one of those guys. But I've heard that story before, that Tito Santana had said that, and that other people had said the same thing, that basically they knew that Lucha was big. Lucha was, huge in Mexico. It was the next – most people looked at Mexico, Japan, the United States. Those were the three big wrestling countries. Japanese wrestling was basically the same as United States. A lot of guys, indie guys, would travel back and forth, but it's much harder to make a push into Japan because of cultural and language differences. Mexico and the United States are very close geographically, so it's easy to get the guys to travel. Culturally, we're not really all that different. The main big cultural difference is just because of English versus Spanish history. World history, as far as those settlements go, if you want a history lesson, whatever. But, honestly, those are both European, and it's much easier to make that push back to, European history. So culturally, we're not actually that different from Mexico. And so they were looking at Mexico versus Japan as the push. But then they basically realized three main things. Now, this is what I've been told, what I've heard. I'll try to get some confirmation on this. But three main things. Thing number one, the Canadian market was much hotter at the time. They started looking at Gates, started looking at the promotions up there, Stampede Wrestling. They realized that they basically had a very fertile ground of wrestlers that they could basically bring in to be new top card and mid card talent. And it just kind of made sense to work with Canada to get that talent. Number two, of course, English is spoken in Canada. English is spoken in the United States. It's much easier to just take your product and package it to a Canadian audience than it is to foreign language into Mexico, South America with Spanish announcers. Now, they do have Spanish announcers, and you can definitely see how they made that push in the 90s into the Latin American markets by having, the joke for the longest time was that every pay-per-view, the Spanish announce table would get broken, they just kind of played into that whole thing. So, I mean, they definitely did continue on that plan, but they just realized that there was a lot more money, there was a lot better ground to pull talent from, and much easier to incorporate those guys from Canada. But number three, the big thing was that Tito Santana, he was their biggest Latino draw at the time, but he still wasn't a huge draw. I mean, I liked the guy. I thought the guy was great for a long time. But as far as, new fans or pushing him to the new generation, he had been jobbed out so much. I don't know if he actually ever won. Did he win at WrestleMania? Because I remember him losing to the Rougeau brothers. I remember him losing to, Warlord. They jobbed him out 1 year. I remember, he just loss after loss after loss after loss. At WrestleMania, I remember him losing so much that it just, he was really one of those guys that if they had pushed him as a winner all along, then, the time he became El Matador, they could have used him. They could have pushed him. But, they kind of bungled that up, and it was much harder to turn him around, as opposed to Bret Hart, who was much more over with the fans, because he had a more storied career, and it just kind of worked out better to move into Mexico, move into Canada as opposed to Mexico, just because they didn't see, being able to take Lucha guys and retrain them to do the, WWF style. That just seemed a little more difficult, So there you go. I had heard that story, and that's how I recall it, which, of course, is probably wrong. So anyway, that's going to do it for the question and answer session, though. But I want to thank you guys for listening. The plan right now, the way I'm looking at my schedule the next couple of days, the plan right now is to come back Thursday morning. And Thursday morning, assuming no kids are sick, there's no school days being canceled, et cetera, Thursday morning is going to be the day I'm going to do the next show. I'm going to talk about some of the new stuff. We'll talk about Jeff Hardy. We'll talk about Sid Vicious. kind of cover what we can from that stuff. We'll talk about Raw and how that changes some of the stuff going into the Royal Rumble, because I'm already hearing rumors of some crazy stuff going on tonight as they push for mini feuds going into the Rumble, hoping you'll be there. And also bringing up some of the guys, you know, Darren Young randomly appeared on Raw last week. So we'll just keep an eye on Raw. We'll talk about some of that stuff. But here's the thing. If you want to have a question answered, post on the message board, shoot me an email, dirt@popculturenetwork.com, or leave a voicemail, 217-415. Whoa, that's my cell phone number. Let's not do that one. Let's do 217-953-4025. Leave me a voicemail. We'll do it by Wednesday night. Leave me a question by Wednesday night so I can gather them together. I can have them together to do the show Thursday morning. Don't, you know, log on the message board 6 a.m. Thursday morning, leave me a voicemail and hope. Because I may end up doing it Wednesday night if I can get the free time to do it. But the plan right now is to do it Thursday morning, have it up Thursday, lunchtime, Thursday afternoon, whatever. So keep an eye out for that, and we'll try to get that up on Thursday. But again, thanks everybody. Nathan, S-Pac, Sween Hollick, Mike, I'm trying to remember everybody who wrote questions. I remember Manglores was the one who brought up Tito Santana. I just want to thank everybody for getting involved, sticking with us. You know, now, again, new year, new schedule. Hopefully we've got things hammered out. So Thursday, we're going to try for another show. Keep your eyes out for that. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you next time.
Hey, Dirt, it's TFJ and Mike from Geekcast Radio Network. I'm going to give you a few moments of silence before I start for my voicemail. Oh, well, make that a few moments of joking.